This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Exactly. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Katie Purvis.
Hey, Macca, before you go on, can I just read a quick message from my sister in Canberra?
Of course.
She says, we need more AFLW games in Canberra. Go D's. That's my sister.
Why wouldn't you? Anything to distract from the shit show that goes on up there. So, our next guest, this might be relevant to this, Hugh Beakey. Hugh is the Deputy Director of the Institute for Ethics, Governance and Law at Griffith University. Good morning, Hugh. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thanks for having me on.
Look, it's a pleasure. We wanted to talk about today, has the pandemic fundamentally changed our ethics? And I suppose as a society, I think our ethics and our behaviour is changed significantly, but some of, you know, leaders and whether it, you know, be in business, community or government, you start to question some of the ethics of the decision that are then they blame COVID. Is that a, you know, is that a fair way to start?
Yeah, it's interesting how much COVID has been this nice source of blame that we can all point to when things are going wrong, or when there's been disruptions, or certainly in a work context, everybody's, you know, and it's reasonable, everybody's had to be very flexible with the demands they can put on other people, because we never know quite how much disruption is happening at their end. So it might be that one of the things that COVID has done is it's given us this sort of target that we can gesture towards. That might have made us all a little bit more tolerant of other people and aware of the fact that their lives may be a lot more disrupted than ours, but at the same time might have given us a bit of an excuse, a bit of a way out to do things in particular ways or not do things.
How do you think, Hugh, when we talk about ethics, I would think one of the key things in people being ethical is telling the truth, isn't it?
Yes, you would definitely think that. It's truth-telling is a pretty perennial virtue across almost all moral systems and ethical systems in the world. But sometimes we do allow certain contexts where we do forgive people a little for not using the truth. So it can be a very fundamental thing within our ethics, but there are sometimes sort of nuances in there where we let people get away with stuff. And that can be very tricky again in a pandemic type situation, because nobody's exactly sure what the rules are. The rules are changing a lot, and so people can be not quite sure whether this is a context where I absolutely have to be very faithful to the truth, or whether this is a context where I'm allowed to sort of play a little bit fast and loose with the rules.
Is it a case of yes, minister rules applying in that you've got to ask the right question to get a truthful answer?
Yeah, sometimes it can be that. Yes, Minister had a lot of insight into the way our systems work and the way our political systems work in particular. And it certainly is true that that sometimes the questions that we ask are ones that are very difficult for people to answer, and our leaders to answer, authorities to answer, scientists to answer. And for people like scientists and other professionals like that, we expect them to just be able to say that they don't know. Well, that's just not a question that's capable of being answered at this point. But for leaders, for authorities, that's always a hard thing to get them to admit, that they don't know quite what's going on, or they can't make promises that extend too far into the future and so on. And so the temptation then is to, you know, is to squib, is to wrangle the truth a little bit in order to give a nice, confident and clear answer at that point.
Do you think, Hugh, that, you know, we pose the question, has the pandemic fundamentally changed our ethics? How would you answer that? Do you think it has?
I think it has definitely changed some dimensions of our ethics. So it's, you know, events like this, even though they're very disruptive, they don't change the core of most of our ethical lives. They don't change our sort of most basic duties that we hold to each other. But they can influence various sort of ways in which those obligations that we have to each other play out. And I think probably one of the main things that we've seen is just that ethics has become a lot more visible. When the world is just operating in its standard business as usual way, we can all just sort of go along with it, and we don't necessarily have to interrogate and think critically about everything that's going on. But what happens with the pandemic and the government's responses to the pandemic the world over is that they've sort of change the business as usual is no longer happening. Now we're doing very different things. We have to think about whether it's okay to go out, to study, to meet people, to work, all of those things. And what that means is we start to have to relitigate all of the rules in the world around us. We have to think through, well, these are big changes. Are they fair? Are they right? Do they work? All of those types of things. And so I think because of that, we've all had to, both in our own minds and in discussions and perhaps arguments with other people, we've had to really think much more critically about a lot of ethical stuff that normally we don't need to, because normally we can just accept that this is the way it goes and just get on with life.
I mean, some people might say that choosing not to vaccinate is an ethical question. A lot of questions are put into the ethics basket, but they're not really ethical questions, are they? They're personal decisions, but it's, you know, we should be guided overall by our ethics. And where we miss out, I think, is that leaders of our society, no matter what area they're in, I see a decline in ethics and a decline in people understanding what ethics are, and, you know, almost like just sort of brushing it aside. And yeah, they blame COVID, but you know, it's the communication is so managed. They talk about ethics, but they don't actually practice them.
Yeah, I mean, and this, it's hard to know if these things are in decline. They feel, you know, in my experience, they feel like they're always in decline. And they feel like, you know, we can always grab a whole bunch of examples of things that have happened recently that make us suspect that it is in decline. And I think that there's probably a couple of things going on here. One is there are a bunch of sort of cognitive traps that we can do that tend to mean that we think what's happening recently is actually a big thing, because we remember more about what happens recently and what happened a while ago. So we think that decline is happening now rather than previously. A similar thing usually follows for people's belief about people's compliance with the law or violent crime and so forth, where people tend to think these things are getting worse when often they're not getting worse and often they're in fact getting better. So we have to be wary about that one. But at the same time, I think you're right that it does appear at some points as if people really just do want to brush aside the ethical questions or pretend that the ethical questions have really simple answers when they don't. Or to pretend that they're actually not making an ethical decision at all. And we see this sometimes when politicians tell us they're just following the science. And the reality is there's just no such thing in politics as just following the science. Political decisions inherently make judgments about fairness, about rights, about priorities, about life and health and welfare and all of these things. And it's good if our politicians are being guided by the science and are taking the science really seriously. But at the end of the day, when they make those decisions, they are making value-based decisions on what they think is right. And to say that it's just following the science, is quite misleading, because at the end of the day, it's their job to make these hard decisions, and they're elected to do so. And it's not simply a matter of just following the science when it comes to making policy decisions.
Absolutely. It's Katie Purvis here, Hugh. I'm wondering, as you're talking about our politicians, whether they get any kind of training in ethics or... Macca's roaring with laughter. I wonder, you know, what happens in Parliament House or within the parties? Do you have any idea?
So what often happens when we talk about training in ethics is we can think when we're first talking about that we want people to get some big picture training in ethics. So we want them to you know, understand that when they're making decisions, we want them to think through, say, well, is this fair? Does it work? Mm. Do we consult people? Can they understand it? Do we treat people like adults? Are we enforcing it appropriately? So we want our sort of politicians and our leaders and everyone really to be able to think about those sort of large questions that you know really should be being answered, especially when you're passing laws or you're making important executive decisions. But unfortunately, what tends to happen when we talk about ethics in the workplace and we talk about ethics often across professions and occupations generally, it winds up being a question of, well, have they read the code of conduct? Mm. Have they read the specific sort of ethical obligations that are set down in their job description?
Right.
So, you know, for politicians, have they been appropriately briefed, and do they understand what it is to have a conflict of interest and how those conflicts of interest should be managed? And that's really important, and we can see it go catastrophically wrong sometimes. But at the same time, it doesn't get at what most of us really want the politicians to be doing, which is to have a passing knowledge about all of the sort of ethical dimensions of the things that they do and their impact on other people.
Oh, how very true. And as you go through that list, I'm thinking, no, they don't. Politicians, to me, it seems that a lot of people in power, and not just in politics, of course, do not make decisions taking their code of conduct or whatever into account. What do you reckon, Macca?
Yeah, look, I agree, and I wonder, Hugh, whether it's, you know, for people to understand ethics, you know, for people that have been around a long time, perhaps, you know, they've moved past the point where they want to know what ethics are.
Mm.
But is there, surely some sort of an argument for it to be part of school curriculum?
Yeah, I think there's a very strong argument to make it part of a school curriculum. And we do see some pushes towards this. Various states allow philosophy to be taught in classes, and usually the discussion of ethics and the examination of ethics is done through through moral philosophy as a discipline. That's certainly how it happens in university, and most ethicists, most people like me, do have training in moral philosophy. And I think it is something that really can be taught pretty well at both primary and secondary levels of school. And most of the time it isn't a matter of sort of telling people what ethics is, but giving them the tools where they can think these things through for themselves, where they can talk about them with other people in a meaningful way and work out where they stand. And they can come to understand better other people's ethical views and realize that, you know, there's lots of different ethical views out there. And a lot of them deserve to be taken seriously. But at the same time, there's a lot of unethical stuff going on out there, and that needs to be confronted. We need to learn about that and be able to talk about that and be able to come up with ways of challenging that.
Unfortunately, Hugh, we're out of time. That was a really interesting to unpack some of that. Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Hugh Beakey, Deputy Director, the Institute for Ethics, Governance and Law at Griffith University. Thank you, Hugh, for your time.
Terrific. Thanks, Macca. Thanks, Katie.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.